we don't do our lessons exactly like they do them up here. So they're a little different. There's lots of different parts to it. We're going to have some actors today. We're going to have some demonstrations. We're going to have some object lessons. It's going to be really good. But to introduce my topic today, and kids, I want you paying attention. We'll see if you can figure this out. I wanted to share with you a riddle. See if you could figure out. Now, this is a famous riddle to me because I'm really nerdy. And I have read all of the Lord of the Rings books and The Hobbit. This one is from The Hobbit, a riddle from The Hobbit. And it says this: this thing all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stone to meal, slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down by Gollum. I can't really do a voice, but it's Gollum. Gollum said it. Anyone have a guess what you think? Yell out if you know the answer. It is time. Time is the only thing powerful enough to do all those things. And time is truly powerful. It's relentless. Time never stops. It keeps going and going and going and going. Never slows down. And it's funny, time may actually be the greatest resource we have next to Jesus. Jesus is the greatest resource we have, the Holy Spirit in us. But time might be the other great resource we have, but it is probably the most undervalued resource you have. I say that as a 32-year-old. Some of you that are older very well know the value of time. Because it goes. It goes super fast. James 4:14 says this: why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, just like that. So time, you're here for a little bit and then you're gone. I've had it told to me many times, and I've found this to be true. My oldest son is 7 years old now, but when he was born, people said, oh man, don't blink, because as soon as you know it, he's going to be older. And guess what? I cannot believe we celebrated his 7th birthday. I have 4 kids now. I have 4 kids now. Oh, man. 3 boys and a girl. It's awesome. I love my life. But time goes fast. It's a super valuable resource. So let me ask you this question. How are you spending your time? If this is so important, and that's just normal kids stuff, so it's not going to bother me if any kids start screaming or yelling. If it bothers you, I'm really sorry. But I just keep rolling. I'm surprised a kid hasn't wandered on the stage, because it happens every Sunday when I start speaking. All right. So time is so valuable. How are you spending your time? What are you spending your time on? Are you spending your time on what really matters? It's a precious resource. And we only have so much of it. In fact, as this says, you don't even know how much time you have. Super limited. What are you spending your time on? There's a great verse in the Bible. It's Psalms 90:12. And it's actually from one of my favorite people in the Bible. His name was Moses. And Moses says this. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom. And Moses is an interesting character because he didn't always use his time, I think, super well. And we're going to talk about that, but we need an actor. Who wants to be Moses today? We need somebody. Caleb, you want to be Moses? Come on up. Caleb's got short legs, so it's going to take him a while to get here. And I obviously picked an outfit, Caleb. You will have to forgive me. Come on up, bud. This is going to be tough. This is going to be tough for you to wear, but we're going to try to make it work. All right, so give a round of applause for Caleb being super brave. All right, Caleb. You can try to stick your arm through here. It almost fits. It almost fits. All right, just for the sake of safety, I'm going to pick you up. We won't be there. All right, so give it up for Moses. Now, Caleb, one of our great children's ministry guys, he knows how this works. Caleb, I'm going to say things, and you got to try to act them out, okay? You can do that. All right, so Moses was born. Awesome. And as a baby, of course, you remember the story. Pharaoh wanted to murder most of the Hebrew slaves, and he was murdering all the kids. So his mother actually hid him in a basket. So Moses, hide in a basket. There it is. There it is. Put him in the Nile River. He floated down, and he actually was met by the princess of Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh raised Moses. Moses grew up under Pharaoh. So give us your best walk like an Egyptian pose. Love it. Good. Don't walk too far. You're going to fall. All right. Moses grows up, has no idea of his heritage, but as he gets older, he starts to realize, oh, he's actually not one of Pharaoh's blood relatives. He was adopted into the family, and actually his blood relatives are Hebrew slaves. So through the course of certain events, he defends a Hebrew man being beaten up and actually kills an Egyptian trying to save this other person. Give us your best punch. I'm sure outside of the clothes it probably looked great. So he kills this man, and he's terrified, so he runs away. He doesn't want to get killed by Pharaoh for killing Egyptians, so he runs away. Don't run. You will fall off the stage. And so he runs all this way. He finds out he's in the desert, and he bumps into a man and his daughters, and this man was named Jethro. And Jethro takes Moses in, gives him a job, makes him a part of his family in a sense. And now throughout time, Moses then marries one of the daughters. So he gives her a kiss. There we go. Nice. He refuses. He's never going to get married. All right. So when he's out, Moses' job, of course, he's married. He has kids now. His job is tending these sheep. And while he's out one day, he comes upon this burning bush, okay? Now, the burning bush was incredible. So he goes, because it was on fire, but it wasn't getting burned up. So it was this crazy miracle, right? And God was there. God was speaking through this bush and talked to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to go all the way back, and I want you to tell all these Hebrew slaves that they're going to be free and talk to Pharaoh and say he needs to let them go. So Moses does this. He does 10 amazing plays. Show me the awesome power of God. Oh, it's so strong. God is so amazing. God does these amazing things, right? Then finally, after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh says, take the Hebrew people, leave, go. So Moses leads all these people out, and then you remember, he comes up against something huge, right? As Pharaoh's leaving, he comes up against the Red Sea, which is huge. Like, you can't see to the other side. It's this giant ocean-like thing, okay? And Pharaoh's army's coming behind you to try to kill you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he, of course, Moses raises his staff into the air and puts it into the water as best you can. And the seas part, and they walk across the Red Sea on dry land. Unbelievable, right? Now, at the time, it's tough. Scholars say it's probably millions of people, like 600,000 able-bodied men, plus women, plus children, plus older men or men that weren't able-bodied, whatever that means. And so they're finally through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his people are gone. They're behind him. And now he gets to lead this great nation. Give it up for Caleb. Caleb, you did so awesome at that. I'm going to try to take this off without you falling over. It's coming. He's getting out. All right, one more time. Give it up for Caleb. Caleb, well done. Well done. Thank you so much. All right, you can run off the stage. I should have some kids bucks. Susan will credit your account some kids bucks. We're going to hand you those. All right, so this is where I wanted to talk. I just wanted to catch us all up in case you hadn't heard that story. But Moses is in this pretty incredible spot here, okay? So Moses is now leading millions of people, and he does something kind of incredible, okay? Moses works himself to the bone. That's right. Felt like I was off center. Works himself to the bone as he puts himself as the only judge to judge everything, every dispute that the Hebrew people had. He would sit on his throne or his judgment seat all day, and people would come before him sunrise to sunset telling him all the problems, and he would pray, he would ask God for discernment, and he would make judgments on these issues, right? It actually got to the point where Moses sent his wife and kids away. He sent them to go back and live with her father so that he could lead this nation. It's kind of an incredible story, right? Moses doing this great thing, but he's about to lose his family in the process. He's about to send them away and basically go on leading this nation without him. And what I find incredible is how much I can relate to that. Now, I've never sent my wife away to go back and live with my father-in-law, which, praise God, I have not done that. But what I have seen is that I've treated my time, the resource that I have, I've sometimes treated that and paid so much attention on what was immediately before me instead of what was most important. It's this process where we choose the immediate over the important that we get in trouble. And Moses does this here. He was leading a nation, right? It seemed important. But however, as we find later on, because Moses does die, there are other people that can lead the nation of Israel. There are other people that can lead that Hebrew nation. There is nobody else that's going to be a father to his kids. There's nobody else that's going to be a husband to his wife. He's the only person that can do that. And what I find incredible is how often we do this. We choose the immediate over the important. Here's what I mean. How many of you have ever been distracted? You had something you wanted to do. I got to do this. You started walking down the hallway and you forgot what you were going to do. Now, some of that's old age, and I get that. But it happens to me all the time because I'm thinking of things, and as I'm walking to do this, I'm walking down the church hallway, I see Pastor Tim, and I go up and say hi, I start having a conversation, and I'm seeing this immediate thing, but I've forgotten what was important. What was I supposed to be doing at this time? Why did I even get out of my desk? Happens every time I get on my computer or my phone. I have to send an email. I have to make a phone call, but as soon as I look at my phone or my computer, Facebook pops up or something, and all of a sudden, I take a second. Just take a second. I'm going to look at this. But then I'm distracted. And after 5 minutes, sometimes 20, you realize, well, why did I get on my computer? What was I doing? When we live our lives that way, we're living our lives choosing the immediate things, those things that come up for our attention, that try to suck us away, and we forget what's important. Now, those are very basic examples, but it comes up a lot. Things at work. Things with family, those things that we would profess to say are our most important things, the things we cherish the most, but how do we spend our time? How do we ensure that we're using our time wisely? Now, how many of you can relate to this? It resonated a little bit with what I'm saying, because for me, it's huge. What I have to say, though, is for Moses, there's some good news, because Moses got a wake-up call from a man whose name literally means excellence. And this was Jethro, his father-in-law. Now, when excellence comes and talks to you, should you listen? Yeah, you should listen to excellence. So excellence comes up. He actually hears Moses' wife, hears her story, takes her the kids, goes back to Moses, hears Moses' story, listens to what he has, sees what he's doing. And it's not until Moses sits in the judgment seat and starts to make judgment that Jethro says, Moses, you got to stop. This isn't good for your people. It's not good for you. You got to change how you do this. Pick other people to lead. Pick other people to handle the small disputes so that you can handle the big disputes and you can probably be with your family more, which would be huge. And the awesome thing is then Jethro leaves by himself. He doesn't leave with the wife and kids. He leaves them there. And we see Moses, praise God, listen to every word Jethro had to say and made the changes. Is that not incredible? He heard wisdom and he did it. And I offer you that same chance, guys. We spend our time in many ways. We spend our time sometimes without a lot of thought. Let's be intentional about how we spend our time. Let's think about what's most important to us. Because Moses kind of nails it here in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. He says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Funny to think that this was the same dude who sent his wife and kids away because he was working too hard. That he got it. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to teach our kids this stuff. Because the truth is, you see a bunch of kids in here today. They got to know this stuff. We got to teach our kids about God's word. We got to teach our kids about Jesus. And guys, if I had one point today, one point to wrap it up would be this. Don't miss your opportunity to help a kid know about Jesus. Because our time is super limited. Super limited. We don't know how much time we got. And we don't know how much time we have with the kids around us. And when I say kids, I mean your kids, okay? And some of your kids are super old, and that's awesome. You still need to hopefully mentor in them and pour into their lives. But these kids are in there. But I also mean all the kids in Bethel Church, even the kids that aren't your kids. Because we need each other to help teach these kids about Jesus. We need each other to help teach these kids about Christ, about what it means to follow Christ. Perfect example, our friends, the Fairburn, Sean and Liz Fairburn. We were teaching Jude how to ride his bike. We've been teaching him all summer. Like, we've been teaching him for actually like 2 years. It's not working. Training wheels are still on. One day, we go out and ride with Liz and Sean Fairburn, and my son rides his bike. Now, I had told him the same stuff, but Sean tells it to him, and he's just like, oh, I never heard that before. That's amazing. I'm going to ride my bike. And actually, Rowan, my younger son, he also started to ride his bike this summer, right? Praise God for that. We got kids riding bikes. It's amazing. Like, one thing is just, boom, important stuff checked off. And the truth is, guys, I needed Sean to speak into my kids' lives. And my kids need you to speak into their lives. We need each other. Now, I want to just show you a quick illustration. We use a curriculum that's actually based off of a person named Reggie Joyner. And Reggie Joyner came up with this orange curriculum, and they like to use marbles. So I got a ton of marbles up here. But basically, what I have is four jars. In this jar, I have roughly 936 marbles. I say roughly because my time is super valuable, and I was not going to count them all. So roughly 936 marbles, and what makes these marbles so important is 936 happens to be the time from when a person is born to when they reach their 18th birthday. As we can think about it, this is the time we have with the kids in our church until they graduate high school, until they start making major life decisions on their own. That's the time we get to influence. I'm thinking of people like Sawyer, my son, not even a year old yet. Henry, Ari, some of the babies in our church. These kids, this is how much time we have. Everybody gasp. Everybody gasp. Oh, man. Oh, man. This is 565 marbles, roughly. 565 marbles. This is actually how many, and I've counted the weeks, literally. This is how many weeks I have with Jude before he graduates high school. It's a lot of marbles, right? What you notice right away is there's 370-odd marbles missing. Now, that's not time I wasted, but it's gone. It's time I don't get back. And I'm so thankful I haven't wasted the time, but it's still gone. Everybody get ready for a huge gasp. High schoolers, this is a freshman in high school. They have about 200 marbles left. About 200 marbles left until they graduate, until they're starting to make decisions on their own. Are you ready for the huge gasp? That's about 43 marbles. This is Joshua Calandrino. That's Kristen Greison. There are kids starting their senior year. This is it. Our church has 43 more weeks, hopefully a little more, we don't know, till these kids are going to make some huge life decisions. What have we done to impact their lives? What have we done to make a difference? Don't miss an opportunity to help a child know about Jesus. Can I say amen to that? Because I'm going to. Yeah. Don't miss an opportunity. Now, we have a lot of cool things. We're going to show you a couple slides real quick just about some of the things our church is doing, and they're awesome. We got a lot of good stuff. We're doing JBQ. JBQ is called Junior Bible Quiz, and I actually invited a young man named Adam Keller, who's hiding behind his dad. Adam, come on up here. Adam is just going to super quickly show you some of the skills of JBQ, and he needs a challenger. Is anybody willing to challenge Adam Keller in a JBQ event? Ari Little, yes. Come on up here. All right, now Adam has been doing JBQ a couple of years, and he is our smartest quiz master. So amazing. Ari has never quizzed before in her life. But she's an adult, so she's learned some things. I'm going to read you some questions, and you just raise your hand when you know the answer, okay? And we're going to see if we can do this. I'm just going to hand this to Adam. No offense. I'm just going to hand it to him just so he's ready. All you have to do is raise your hand if you think you know the answer. Are you ready? The Bible is the inspired word of God and is his revelation to all people of himself and his plan to salvation. I read the answer. Whoops. I was realizing, oh, wait a minute. That's the answer. All right, good thing I did more than one question. All right, here's the question. How many books are there in the Bible? How many?
66.
Boom, 66. All right, here we go. How many people did God inspire to write the Bible? Yes.
About 40.
Word perfect. All right. Who lived longer than any other person, and how long did he live?
Methuselah, 969.
Give it up. All right. Whom did God spare from the great flood?
Noah and his family. No,
give it up for Adam, dude. This guy's been quizzing. Awesome. Give it up for Ari. Get out of here. She's too embarrassed. I did tell her I wanted to prep her beforehand, saying she would not get any of these questions right. And Adam was actually being nice, because if I started reading the sentence, even the first two words, he probably could have raised his hand, because that's how awesome this is. We're doing JBQ coming up this fall, and it's going to be awesome. If you have kids kindergarten through fifth grade, we would love, love, love for them to quiz. We're going to be doing that during the first service, so be listening up for that. A couple other things I just want to talk about real quick. The next slide is our Bethel Girls Club and Royal Rangers. These are ministries we do on Wednesday night, and they're awesome. They're super awesome ministries. Wednesday night, starting at 7, we do our Royal Rangers as a boys club, kindergarten through sixth grade. We're teaching these kids so much about God. We're teaching these kids so much about Jesus. They're learning how to carve stuff. They're learning how to tie knots. They're learning rocketry. It's a real badge, and our kids know how to do it. It's amazing. And then in the girls club ministry, it is unreal. Girls club ministry spent even 8 weeks just talking about the identity of Christ on them and how important that is, more important than the way they look, more important than what media says about them, and so, so cool. We also have our weekend ministry, of course, Bethel Kids. We're meeting downstairs. You see all our kids with their new Bethel Kids shirts, and Promised Land Ministry. Just great ways to tell people about Jesus. And the cool thing is we're using a curriculum that doesn't waste the time we have. That starts with our youngest kids and incrementally puts God's word in their heart all the way through fifth grade. Strategic plan, picking precise Bible stories, trying to get in there. It's so cool. And this last one I wanted to talk about, and I know I'm a little over time, but I just wanted to show you a quick video, is Champions Club. Debbie's clapping because she's one of our Champions Club leaders. Champions Club, it's a ministry to kids with special needs. Simple as that. The bottom line is it's not easy to find a church that's willing to minister to these people. And we do, because we value them so much. We value every kid that God puts in our door. And so we just wanted to show you a quick video real quick, and then we'll close our service.
It's not always easy to have people deal with Ryan, only because you can't tell when he's going to have a good day or when he's going to have a bad day. We were pretty much welcomed with open arms as soon as we stepped foot in the building. And a special needs program isn't always something that you can find at any church. I think a lot of churches don't even recognize how important it is to even have one. We know he's not easy. It's the same thing every day. Things don't usually change much, and then if things do change, it can be hard. He doesn't transition well. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. So it's either extreme happiness, or it's extreme frustration or extreme anger. He doesn't seem to have any concern about what people think. Ryan and I, we can feel the blood pumping in our ears, and we can feel our pulse rise, and I think whenever he has his hard days, our first reaction is to think people are judging us, looking at us like we're these ineffective parents, you know, and when in reality, you know, our hearts are just crying because we think, gosh, he can't help it, you know, he's having a hard time. Not everybody really understands that. It tends to isolate you a little bit, too. And of course, when you have a church family that loves your child, that isolation is just gone. People love him in ways that even some of our friends that have typical kids couldn't even possibly understand. It's really just, it's wonderful. Thank you for not treating Ryan like he's broken or afflicted. Thank you for treating him and loving him like he's made in the image of God, because we know that he is. And we feel so much that you understand that. So thank you.
Nice. Champions Club, JBQ, Promised Land, Royal Rangers, Girls Club, Bethel Kids are all ministries that we need people. We need people that are willing to minister to kids, people that are willing to teach these kids about Jesus. This may surprise you, but we actually have some openings. We can get you in. We can get you in. It's surprising to me because, honestly, we should have a waiting list of people wanting to get involved in kids' ministry. Because the truth is, there's no more important ministry than this. Helping that next generation hear about Jesus. I want to invite Pastor Tim up, and he's going to pray for us, close out our service. In front of you, unless you're in the front row, then don't look for this. There is a card that says, Get Connected. And if you are interested in serving in children's ministry, all you need to do is write down your information on that card, and we will contact you. Oh, yes. We will find you, and we will get you connected. It's such a great way to get to know the people of our church and to serve our kids. So thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Let Pastor Ben know how much we appreciate him, Stephanie, and all that they do. Yeah. Would you stand with me this morning? Man, we are so excited about what God is doing in our kids' ministries here at Bethel Church. Now, I didn't have the privilege of growing up in church as a child, but started going to church as a middle schooler. And I can remember back, I was so blessed to have a church that God placed me in that was such a great blessing. I look back at that experience for me coming into church after not being raised in church, and the kind of people, it wasn't just the pastor, it was the kind of people in the congregation that made such a difference in my life. They worshiped Jesus passionately. They learned my name. They would talk to me. They would pray with me. And when I look at these kids around here this morning, my prayer is that they have such an awesome experience here at Bethel Church. They're going to love Jesus, and they're going to have fond memories of their church. Amen? That when they go off to college, the first thing they're going to want to do is they're going to want to find a church because their church experience has been amazing, right? And so I just want to encourage you, if God is laying on your heart to get involved in kids ministry, obey what God is telling you to do. Do it. Get signed up. But if that's not your call to do something specifically that way, we're all called to love and mentor and encourage every child at Bethel Church. Amen? Every one of us is called to do that. So we all make a difference. Would you pray with me right now? Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you that as much as we love our own children and as much as we love all the kids at Bethel Church, Lord, there is no one who loves them and cares about them more than you do, Lord. God, we thank you that they're every one of these kids is the apple of your eye. And God, we just want to just pray right now over all the kids' ministries here at Bethel Church, Lord. All the incredible people that serve, we pray, God, that you will bless them, that you would anoint them. Lord, that you would fill them with grace and love and patience and wisdom as they're teaching children. God, we pray for Pastor Ben and Stephanie. We thank you for their leadership, God. Lord, how they inspire other leaders, how they love what they do. God, that they're not doing what they do just because they get a paycheck. They're doing it because they love you and they love children. We thank you for Pastor Ben and Stephanie. We ask, God, that you will bless their leadership, bless their home, bless their family, bless them as they lead the children here at Bethel Church. And we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome day.